Hey now, what you're about to hear is a free preview of one of this week's episodes of The Dumb Zone. If you would like to hear this episode in full, along with the archive of all of our past episodes, please go to patreon.com/thedumbzone. It's only a hilariously priced $6.90 per month to subscribe. You're one of the only guys I've ever heard say, like, that NBA teams, and particularly the Mavs of the past, are, like, run by agents. Dan Fagan is the one you've mentioned, right?
Yeah, he got in tight there with the deceased. He might still be running them if he didn't have the untimely car accident death. But yeah, Dan Fagan for a long time was effectively running the Dallas Mavericks.
So explain what you mean by that. Like how?
Well, basically they go to Dan Fagan. They say, which of your clients can we get on our team? And it becomes kind of this funny, it becomes this weird dynamic where they're almost in cahoots. Basically, the easy way to describe it is, do you think Clutch is running the Lakers, right? Well, why is Clutch running the Lakers? Because they have a very important Clutch client in LeBron and then Anthony Davis, and then you got to start kicking them some other players because they got the two main guys. So if some random Clutch guy wants to get overpaid and he's an end of the bench individual, then you have to do the bidding of Clutch. And you see something similar with CAA and the Knicks, where the coach is repped by CAA, the guy who runs the team was a CAA power agent, the players are CAA, and I don't think it's good. I don't think it's a good idea for long-term success, but it's a logical idea sometimes of, well, if I basically form a merger with this agency, it will give me access to superstar players and main players, and maybe I have to overpay some guys, but this is all a superstar acquisition business in the NBA. And then we can debate over details. The Dan Fagan thing was a little bit different, though, because he was so tight with Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban called him one of his best friends. I tried to talk with Mark about Dan Fagan, a little bit of a retrospective, but Mark didn't really want to get into it. And I think it wasn't just a matter at that point of talent acquisition. There was also an aspect maybe of personal relationships coloring the business. And I don't think in a good way for the Mavericks, not when you're signing, say, I don't know, Chandler Parsons and that particular contract right there, who is a Dan Fagan guy, a major big-time Dan Fagan guy. But it was an open secret that Fagan was running the Mavericks for a few years. And it's just something that we in media, we underplay. This is one of the reasons my site got started, is that there is an NBA underworld that is kept from the fan. And I think one of the reasons why it's kept from the fan is that breaking news has become so prominent as what you need to do. And that's what gets you status as a reporter. I still don't understand the economics of it. I don't get how beating the press release on Twitter really pays the bills for ESPN or any of these other companies, but it became the focus. Well, the way you beat the press release by the most amount of time is by having great relationships with the agents. So in a lot of instances, agencies are running teams and situations, but the people reporting on them are editing out the main characters of the story while telling the story, because that's what the main character wants. They don't want everybody knowing their role or their hand in things. Sometimes they do, and you'll have Woj say, this big contract was signed by this agent. But in a lot of instances, not so much. That's very long-winded. Very long-winded. I hope it answers something, because I can't even remember all the details of Fagan's run with the Mavericks at this point. I just know it was prominent, and he was in there.
Random stuff, if you don't mind.
We're going to do around the horn now, or PTI.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly what I'm doing here.
Around the pizza.
I know we've already taken too much of your time, probably.
Cold horn.
You're Ethan Strauss. You got stuff to do.
Cold horn.
The pandemic. I wonder what your opinion of this is. Not the pandemic overall.
That one doesn't feel quick.
No.
I wanted that to just be just undefined. The pandemic.
We've talked about this for a while. We thought at the time, because we were doing the show during that, that now, okay, sports is shut down. What a great opportunity. for a sports schedule revamp.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think the schedule sucks sometimes, especially if there's NBA finals, NHL finals, the baseball's already going. Like, let's spread these things out a little bit. Ethan Strauss, have you ever thought about that?
Well, I think...
like the NBA, I thought, boy, start on Christmas Day. Remember the year they did that? That'd be great. We don't have to...
it was great.
Go again. Yeah, no. But they came back and everything's just the same as it was before.
Well, I think part of it is they were hoping to stumble upon a little bit of gold in the schedule getting shaken up, and instead America said, we don't really want to watch sports. And maybe you could chalk that up to the circumstances, but the NBA was going, oh, maybe being in this part of the calendar might work better for us. And what happened was the lowest watched finals in the history of the league. And they went, okay, well, we're going to stay away from that right there. I think that was mostly circumstantial, and it had less to do with where they were in the calendar. But you're right. You would think that it would have been an opportunity to maybe change some things. But unfortunately, I guess I say unfortunately in the case of the NBA, they've been quite reluctant to part with the guaranteed money of these games, which I think is penny wise and pound foolish, because you need some scarcity. There are too many games. And you mentioned the start on Christmas. That was out of the lockout in 2011. And that is the most watched NBA season since Jordan. And it had no promo leading up to it, because how could you? They resolved the lockout, and they just had to start immediately. And it was an ugly season because teams weren't prepared, right? You didn't have a proper preseason and training camp. But that was the most watched season since Jordan, and it was 66 games. So it should tell you that if you have fewer games, actually you will make more money as long as you pattern it correctly. I mean, the dream scenario to me is something called the Arnovitz schedule, where the teams play on Tuesdays and Thursdays, maybe a showcase on the weekend, and 44-game schedule. That's too few for some people. You know, we can debate on the details of it, but I think the NBA is losing out, and it's one of these sports that's losing out because it's an inventory sport. Inventory sports were perfect for the cable TV era, where you needed to fill up inventory for these different channels. But now there's so much noise in the culture that you need a tent pole, you need an event. The event sports are crushing. NFL, obvious event sport. College football, people didn't think college football was going to grow. It has been having a moment over the last 7 years. That's an event sport. Now, UFC is another one. That's an event sport that's been quite lucrative for ESPN. The inventory sports, you've seen massive fall off. You've seen diminishing ratings. And I think a real struggle for them is, how do you become events? The NBA tried to have its cake and eat it too and create this weird in-season tournament to make an event in the middle of their inventory. I don't think that works. I think you just have to take the risk. I think you have to actually take the risk of having fewer games and do something dramatic, or it's not really going to work. And you're just going to slowly decline. And that's the thing. I think it really is, you become an event or you slowly decline.
Do you think there is a slow decline? Like, is that part of the reason Cuban sold, do you think? He sees something?
I mean, with him, it's hard to know. I think he might not have been as liquid as he would want people to think that he was. And so just getting a blast of money seemed nice. But I think if he was more optimistic about the future, then he probably wouldn't have sold.
Yeah.
He can overread the future, though. You guys remember when you won the championship and then he blew up the team because he anticipated the new CBA would change everything.
Speaking of the lockout,
that much.
So much arguments.
He didn't.
This show.
Yeah, he didn't have to blow up that team. So he might be overreading the future, but I think if he saw something better on the horizon, I'm guessing he would have been more inclined to cling to the property. The NBA is going to sign a new TV deal. It should theoretically be for more money than the last TV deal. But as so many people are saying, it's, well, what happens after that? What comes next after that? What happens when Steph Curry and LeBron James are no longer carrying the league? I don't think whatever comes next replaces the hold they have on the public. So I think long term, yeah, it's a problem. And there are issues particular to the NBA that people will cite as the reason for it. And there are issues particular to the NHL that people will cite as the reason for that sport's decline. And there are issues particular to the MLB that people will cite as the reason for that sport's decline. But they all share the same big main reason. And that is too many games as we are shifting away from an inventory world to an events world. The Dunzo.